So you're a fan of Atlanta United.
And you just can't possibly understand how we finished sixth last year.
Or maybe you just don't get how we conceded 53 goals and you want to know if it's going to happen again.
Was it Parata and Miles Robinson?
Nope. Gone.
Sedic and Josetu?
Nope. Gone.
How about Miguel Berry?
Or maybe it was Pineda's tactics.
Double pivot, airplanes, pinching in. Absolutely shambolic.
I'm Mikey Dobbs.
I'm David Katz.
I'm Carmen Butler.
And we're going to talk about it all, because this is the ATL on Fire podcast show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of ATL on Fire, the podcast where we talk all things Atlanta United football and all things soccer. And as always, I'm joined by Dave Katz and Carmen Butler for round two here. We had a little technical difficulty. The Colonel, thank you for letting us know we weren't live there. We are hopefully live now.
We're beholden to our fans.
Yes, thank you.
Carmen, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah. Yes.
Back still from a doing workout.
Great. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, as I was saying before, what soccer gossip is out there? Is anybody getting married or Miles Robinson?
Out. I know. Who'd you find out was getting married?
Yeah. Instagram, I think our old friend Marcelina Moreno.
Nice. Congratulations, yeah. Marcelina.
Yeah. Congratulations.
He was a better player than people give him credit for.
For sure.
That's true. And
bobblehead, but still great player.
Very true. Yeah. The only Instagram story I have, which is not an Instagram story, is Arujo's wife is still hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Miss Brazil.
Yeah.
Miss Brazil.
She's still Miss Brazil
still
in Brazil.
Still smoking hot. Still smoking
Well, that
hot.
Makes sense, right? Because you put Miss Brazil back in Brazil and she should get hotter.
She was ready. She was ready for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Dave, you brought us a lovely wine. Thank you.
That's correct. It's an Alamos. Yeah. It's a Cabernet. Typically, they're more, usually they're Malbec, but this is the Cabernet. It's Argentinian. What do you think?
I think we're going through it pretty quick with all these restarts.
I know.
Carmen, you didn't know, like, yeah, you're going to get your money's worth here. Get in the wine with this many restarts.
I am telling you.
If you restart again, I'm going to have, you know, my sixth glass of wine, and then that'll be it.
I forgot to plug in the LAN wire, which gives better...
Turns out you need internet for the broadcast.
I know. Colonel, if you're out there, let us know that you can hear us.
That would be nice.
Yes, just cool. So we know. Because
point. Yeah, and speaking of wine, we've got some thanks to our sponsor, Wolf Mountain Vineyard, located in Dahlonega, Georgia. So just a short drive out of the Atlanta metropolitan area to get up to Dahlonega and enjoy some lovely wines that are made in our state of Georgia.
Mine looks just like the picture.
Had a great time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their wines are terrific.
If you want to test the waters first, then drive on over to our other sponsor, Wild Heaven Brewery. Two locations, one here in Avondale Estates and in West End, Atlanta. And look at this. I mean, look at the photo here on YouTube. The GIF, whatever you want to call it.
Something to tell the fan base about Wild Heaven Brewery, Mikey Dobbs?
I do. So I was just coordinating with Hayden, the manager at the Avondale Estates location. They're going to be kind enough to, again, host us for our 100th podcast. Dave, can you believe we've been doing it?
100?
100. This is 99. 100 will be next. So we're going to do that, everybody, on Saturday, April 27th. We're going to target going live around noon. So please come up there. Join us. Celebrate with a pint or a glass of wine. I can't believe we've been doing it this long. Come heckle us. Come join the show.
And we'll have a microphone so you can come up and be part of the show.
100%.
Absolutely.
So that's April 27th, Saturday at noon at Wild Heaven Brewery, Avondale Estates.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
So, hopefully the weather will cooperate. We can do it outside. If not, we'll be undercover and figure it out.
Run for the cover. Yes.
And afterward, evidently, there's some bands playing.
Yeah, so there'll be music afterwards. And
Chicago later on.
Atlanta United on the telly at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Or 8:30. 8:30.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to stick
triple
around.
Triple header.
But that could be a
podcast,
long day
music.
At the brewery. So hey. I don't know.
We'll wheel you home.
Right. So we've got the Philadelphia Union game to obviously talk about. Mm-hmm. We played them on Sunday. Had a what you would call a disappointing draw after a 2-0 lead.
Well, let's see. Think about it. So were you disappointed by the draw, Carmen?
Well, I predicted
you
the
predicted
draw.
It.
Yeah.
And it's the first time that all year I've been wrong. And I predicted a win.
Okay. And it's the first time all year I've been right. So there we go. Yeah, so I didn't really watch the game per se.
But what about the result? Like, is that for you?
I thought it was okay. Without watching it, I thought it was okay. I mean, Philadelphia is, you know, close up there, top of the standings. And to pull off a draw, I thought was good. I think y'all talk about it. Andre Blake, him coming out probably helped us. But I think it's a good result.
So two things. I'm very disappointed.
Okay. You predicted a draw too.
Yeah, but not on the whole. Well, first of all, I also predicted a draw thinking Giakoumakis would be there.
Yeah. Mm.
So there's point number one. Also, I predicted maybe Blake would be there the whole game. We didn't know. So that was, we got half of that, right? So either way, but Gigi wasn't there. The thing I'm most disappointed about is we were up 2-0, even against the odds, because we maybe didn't necessarily deserve to be up 2-0 in that game, and we were. Now I just watched this game last night because I was celebrating birthdays here at the household during the actual game, but went back, watched it last night, and yeah, I felt like, you know, that late in the game, we didn't make the right changes to hold a lead. We'll talk about that. But I think there's things we could have done to safeguard the lead versus other changes we made. Dave, you feel like you're nodding because you might agree with me on that one. So I think you might agree that we should have done better than a draw based on that.
Thunder.
Oh, I love it when y'all agree.
I don't like it when we agree. And one thing we didn't agree with is the throw-in, and we'll get to that. Ooh. But
I'm going to show Carmen. Okay. And then, so that way she'll know whether or not this is legit before you ever even even show it, okay?
Okay. All right. Let's see what's happening.
Yeah. Oh.
This Keep is going, Mikey Dabbs.
Okay. So, I do.
We'll see. You tell the audience later whether or not Mikey Dabbs and I are on the same page.
All right.
So, I want to talk about some big changes that are happening in Major League Soccer. And, Dave,
do tell.
As you noted, you're not a fan of any sort of rule changes during regular season.
No, right? I think that you can't have changes during the middle of the season because then, you know, two teams playing the same team, you know, Columbus played us earlier, Cincinnati played us later. If the rule change makes a difference, mm-hmm. then it's not the same competition.
So another kind of MLS type of decision that you
MLS question. Shake your head.
Shake your head. So there's three big changes coming, Carmen and Dave, and that is off-field treatment rule, time substitution rule, and in-stadium VAR announcements to take effect April 20th. So that's happening this coming weekend, correct?
Today's the 16th, so that's this weekend, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's this Saturday. It'll be in effect during the Cincinnati game at the Benz. So a little more detail you guys want on this?
Yes, okay. Do tell.
Please.
So off-field treatment rule. So the off-field treatment rule allows for medical professionals with time to assess the and treat players off the field of play in less pressurized environment. So if a player with a suspected injury remains on the ground for more than 15 seconds, the referee will stop play and wave the medical crew onto the field to evaluate the player. When safe, the player will be removed from the field and remain off the field for a minimum of 2 minutes for further assessment.
I love how they catch that in terms of the player safety when really that's to stop people from faking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
So
that's this.
So what do you think? Like, this one is...
The blue card, the dreaded. You've been talking about this for a while. Yes. Isn't that the point of that? It's like
it's kind of a blue card, wasting time.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'm curious how this will impact, like, kind of the in between type of things where you're kind of hurt, right?
Yep.
Do you, and maybe it would have been 30 seconds for you to be able to shake it off. Is it safe for the player to try to maybe hurry that up? Because the medical staff's like, and he's like, I don't want to, you know, jeopardize the team for 2 minutes. I think that's the conundrum that might happen for those kind of weird,
in between moments. Doesn't change anything?
You don't think so?
Yeah, they're just gonna go about the same thing. I don't think 2 minutes is enough of a deterrent.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, because 2 minutes is not that big deal.
I thought it was a big
Mostly
deal.
Mostly by the time you're off and they wave you on, it's 30 seconds anyway, and it depends when they really start the clock. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I think those 2 minutes will add up, man.
We'll see.
So as a player, I mean, y'all both played. If you knew that you would be off the field for 2 minutes, a full 2 minutes, what, you don't think that would change your thought? Like, you're not going to fake it anymore,
I never went down ever, Carmen.
Correct, which is... So no, I think...
Talk to Mikey Dobbs. No, I mean... Something that has nothing to do with me.
I think the players are going to have a tougher mentality to try to stay on, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Okay? My question is, of the... whatever percent of people who do that, right, that maybe tore their ACL, uh-huh. and like, I'm not going off, and then do further damage, do you think that there's any... I'm just asking. Like, I...
Devil's advocate, right?
Yeah, I'm being devil's advocate.
Nah, because that could happen. I mean, yeah, you can... But I think that's...
Because I agree, the players are going to... Anyway. The players are going to try to stay in the field no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So you can
No, I think that the players are just going to go down just like normal.
And they're going to come off. Minutes.
Yeah, they're going to take the 2 minutes. It's not going to deter anything.
But not to, like...
Oh, I'm going to yell at my teammate if he's off the field for 2 minutes for being a wuss. I'm sorry, that will change. My attitude as a captain.
Fair.
You don't think so?
I like it.
You're like Roy Keane.
Yeah, if I'm Keeney, dude, and you're jeopardizing in a minute and a half, right?
Roy Kent.
Yeah. You don't think that that'll have an impact with the captain?
Well, I mean, the captain, maybe. Yeah, if you have the certain, the right leadership.
You think
Sleece
and Gregerson are going to put up with that? Guzan at the halftime?
I don't know. I mean, we don't know enough about their personalities. I mean, Sleaze and Gregerson are, I think, definitely leaders, but I don't know exactly what kind of leaders they are yet because we don't know about their personality.
Okay. But let's at the end of games is kind of what I'm thinking of. Yeah. That's where you have especially the South American players who will go down, act like they've been shot, bring on people to... But at the end of a game, when they're pushing everyone forward, do you want to...
Stretching, I have a cramp.
Exactly. Do you want to be a man down with everyone pushing like that?
To me, that's the only legitimate ones that do happen at the end of the game when players get cramps. Dave, and I know he's true, like, when you have a cramp, like, you, your whole body seizes up. I don't know, like, these...
Yeah, but that happened to me, like, twice in my whole career. Some of these guys have cramps, like, every week. That... And they're professionals. I was like a... Dude, you know, an idiot.
No, that happened to me all the time, really? And I was in the best shape of my life.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
You're obviously physiologically inferior.
True. I love it. But I probably, I probably had more beers than you the night before. Yeah, playing.
That could, probably, there could probably be more, a correlation. More
no.
Could be a correlation.
I always took care of myself when I was playing,
now,
playing
keep
for
in
real.
Mind, correlation is not causation.
Yeah. So, the second rule I think is a little more straightforward and I like. Let me pull up the phone here. So this is the timed substitution rule, maximizing effective match time. The timed substitution rule requires that a substituted player exit the field within 10 seconds. Failure to exit from any point on the field within 10 seconds will cause the incoming player to wait only 60 seconds on the hold.
Well, that's even worse because I would go slow on purpose. So this is even worse. So, you know, you're trying to delay the game, which is why you would walk off slowly to get a substitution. Mm-hmm. So you walk off really slow and the referee's like, now you're 60 seconds. So you finish walking off slow. They start the play. And then 60 seconds later, there's another disruption.
Yeah.
That's worse. I don't think they got it right.
You think there'll be a they'll just wave the player on.
Oh, it won't be a stoppage for it. Okay, maybe. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I think
they've already cleared the
substitution. I could be wrong, but I'm picturing they just wave them on after 6 seconds.
Okay, that makes more sense.
No additional. Yeah.
So is this going to be like the 6 second rule that we used to have, like keepers holding the ball, but we know they hold it for like a minute? No one cares. Is it going to be like that?
If you're a time wasting team, you're talking about 2 minutes doesn't matter, a minute doesn't matter. But let's say that like three or four of those happen in a game. You're talking about 5 minutes of a 1 man advantage.
I'm going to play my Mikey Dobbs card here. I think the rules suck. I mean, I like the idea of eliminating the time wasting, but that's not going to do it. I'm going to predict.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Because are we still with the, what do you call it, second string refs?
We have the real ones. This weekend was the reintroduction of the real refs.
All right. Okay.
We're back.
All right. So I feel a little bit better because I could see like the second string folks being like 10 seconds exactly. We're going to do all this. So hopefully
it'd be cool if as he's walking across, the ref was like.
Right. The countdown clock.
So finally,
see, if you can't, you're not on the listening on the podcast. I was just using my fingers to count down.
So finally, the third rule is in-stadium VAR announcements. VAR decisions will be explained that and announced by the referee to the fans in the stadium.
So that makes total sense.
It'll be like the NFL where they do. Yeah,
makes sense. Know, the, and I also, we didn't really talk about it, but this year, for the first time, they're allowing the stadium clock to go past 45 and 90, and it keeps counting, which is so much better. It was so stupid before.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Like that.
Okay. A little more transparency. I like it.
Like the last rule, don't think the time-wasting rules are going to help.
Wait, I mean,
I'm on record.
So, but they...
Mikey Dobbs thinks they will.
I think they could.
You're usually the most cynical bastard out there.
I mean, I don't have a full opinion until I see it happen. Well, yeah, and then so I could be totally
against it. You're supposed to make a prediction so you'll look silly.
Okay. Well, then I think it's going to work because I think that those minutes will add up.
Okay, that's a bet.
That's a bet.
Okay, now, how do we decide that, though? Who?
If
Carmen gets to decide.
I'll decide.
I'll also decide because I'll call myself out. If it
that's
sucks.
Accurate. That's accurate.
I'll be honest. Like, if it's something I don't like, I'll call myself
out. Is it time to tell the story again about how Mikey Dobbs got sent off for arguing a penalty kick that our team received?
I love it so much.
Kept arguing with the ref to the point where the referee sent him off.
I love it.
He's like, that's your penalty kick.
I was trying to, I mean, when you make so many bad decisions in a row.
In my opinion, that was my greatest moment of my soccer playing career.
It's fantastic.
I just watched it, the whole thing. I'm like, did he just get sent off for arguing that we got a penalty? And then, yes, he did.
Yeah. It was proof. It was proof about how bad he was.
It was proof of your honesty.
And I wanted him to go home to know that he should probably not referee anymore. Because he gave me a penalty kick for no darn reason.
I like it.
For the same reasons he had made like five bad calls before that. So
I love it. The integrity of it all.
This integrity of the game I care about. So you know I'm going to come back and tell you the honest opinion.
All right.
So what was your honest opinion about our draw against the Philadelphia Union on Sunday night?
Yeah.
At home?
I had us winning.
You were at the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Sunday afternoon. I had us winning. Of course, when we made the predictions, we thought Gigi was going to play. So that's my, I don't want to make excuses, though. So I'll take this. The first one that I've not called correctly all season. But, I was arguing that we are Formula Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly without Gigi, we're not really Formula Plus, but...
Carmen, you said draw, right?
I said draw.
I said draw. Is that
so Carmen? You feel okay with the draw?
Yes, I do.
Against Philly, because they're a good enough team. You're like, that's a good result.
They're a good enough team. They're above us in the standings. I was still Formula, not Formula Plus quite yet. Okay. So I thought the draw was all right.
So as you know, I probably thought a draw was all right going into that game for the same reasons that Carmen pointed out, but. At the end of the day, I didn't think that Philadelphia played that great. We were down Yakimakis, and my prediction included having Yakimakis.
Right.
Yet we still went up 2-0, and I believe we had the 2-0 lead up until like the 65th or 70th minute. So it wasn't the equalizer or the second or third goal and first goal of the Union wasn't till very late. And I just feel like 2-0. You're missing Gigi. So just keeping the gas on as your tactics at home. I know we have that capability, but without Gigi, I don't know that that's the right tactics. So
I just showed Carmen something in secret because we'll talk about it. I'm going to see if you agree. I have something about this in my notes.
Okay.
I just wanted to be forthcoming.
Well, tell me.
No, when we get to it, you'll find out whether or not we agree or not.
So you thought that a draw was a good result even after the game.
No.
Okay.
No, I actually, to be honest, I thought a draw.
Because you predicted a win.
A result when we're going to look back in the season and say
100%.
Not great. Because, keep in mind, we have a bunch of people who are going to be missing for a while this summer. Almada, Sleaze, right? I mean, those are huge pieces. Yeah. Right, and that's going to cost us points or whatever. And a 2-2 draw against Philadelphia is not the worst. It's a decent result, but the way you were up 2-0 and then you can see two goals, I think that's 2 points left on the left off the table, right?
And I mean, at this point, I mean, even that, we've got to show that we can win on the road. You know, even we've got to show that we can win on the road with our best.
But we can't.
With our best players out there.
Yeah. We've never went on the road with Pineda. Like, never.
It just doesn't happen.
No, not yet. So, not even with this team yet.
And so that's why I'm disappointed, Dave. I think, you know, again, watching the game on replay last night, my memory serves, and sorry if I'm jumping right into this, but the substitutions happened late. We took Wolf out for Mascara, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
And we took out...
Rios.
Who?
Rios.
Rios.
Yep.
And we put in Firmino.
Correct.
And I want to say that Fortune came in at some point. Am I wrong on that?
Wrong.
Okay.
I believe we only made those two subs, period. Okay.
That is what it shows online. Correct. Okay. Yeah. Which for some reason I thought Fortune, it was Firmino that made that bad back pass that went to the far side of the field where they got their first goal.
No, it was Mascara.
Was it Mascara? Okay. Ooh, that was ugly,
man. All right. So since we're just jumping to it.
Yeah.
So what do you think you would have done differently? Knowing that I've already told Carmen what I would have done differently.
So
I love the setup.
Yeah, I think I think the first thing I would have done is maybe given Moyamba a break. And put in someone more defensive like Dax.
Okay.
Sure up that kind of defensive center midfield. That's kind of number one, and I think that Mascara isn't bad because he brings in wheels and keeps at least the back people on their heels, so I didn't like that. I thought Firmino wasn't necessarily needed, but I like how they put him up front for Rios. At least it showed some creativity from Pineda, like we've been saying. You know, he's not a natural nine, but he went ahead and played him that way.
Oh, I think Firmino's a nine, no?
No, they play him as a 10 in the twos. Oh, so okay. It's not his natural position. Right. So I was giving Pineda a little bit of credit when I saw him come on as a nine, saying, okay, well, again, there's not anybody else anyway. You would have to put somebody in. So maybe I'm giving him too much credit because he had to take Rios off because he saw he was tired.
Yeah, I think Rios was probably on sort of the dreaded restricted minutes because he's, you know, just as his first game with the team or whatever, and that was all. You know, planned or whatever. So I think taking
Wolf off was the right move for Mascara. Dak should have come in for Moyamba because at that point, like, so this should have all happened, in my opinion, after we were up 2-0. You're like, okay, Philadelphia is a good offensive team. They're probably going to get one against us. Like that's not too hard to foresee. So let's make sure that we do what we must do, which is stop leaky goals. And the one we gave up was from a young player that he subbed on for Mino, who after,
I think it was Mascara.
Oh, he's Mascara. Sorry. I'll have to go back and look. But anyway, the way that happened too is I also, the other sub, I know what it was. The other sub that I wanted to do was after Wiley scored the second goal.
Yep.
Wiley comes off and Ronald Hernandez comes in for Wiley. Okay. That was my other sub.
Okay.
Because... Also, Wiley, while the goal wasn't his fault, obviously, it was from Mascara or whomever who he kind of was getting tired. He tried to dribble it up the left side. He got it taken off his foot, and it stayed in bounds.
Yep.
And that's when Mascara or whomever tried the crazy back pass cross that went to their striker and said, thank you very much, top left. It's those little things, but it's not that hard to see when people lose their legs, like, I'm guessing that Wiley probably wouldn't have lost that had he had better legs in that game. Mm. And totally not his fault, but it's all about the tactics of had Ronald Hernandez been in with fresh legs or the back left. I mean, also Wiley's played all the minutes too. Why not give the guy a break? Bring in Ronald Hernandez. Mm. Like, let's do some rotations, but we're up 2-0.
Yep.
Like, that's the moment to do it. And that's where Pineda is not making. And also you're giving Ronald Hernandez, who we haven't seen in a while now, again, some minutes, some confidence in a game where, you know, we need the 2 points. I don't know. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
So I almost completely agree with you, but not exactly. So I would have said, so first of all, you're up 2-0. It's the 70th minute, right? I would have probably made the sub, but even if he didn't have the acuity to make the sub that I'm about to talk about then, I would have said, certainly after you give up a goal. So you could say that when we gave up the first goal, we were totally dominant. We were in control. We hadn't given up many chances. And so you're like, okay, let's just keep our foot on the gas and go for goal three, right? But once you give up the 2-1 goal, I would have brought on Dax McCarty for one of the front three, and it would have been Wolf for me.
Okay.
And I would have played with three defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
Right. And really block up the middle. So you still have the threat, because I probably also would have shortly then after brought on Mascara for Saba, because once you're parking the bus a little, that speed out wide can really help you get out. But so I agree with bringing off Wolf. I thought Wolf was absolutely horrendous in this game. I mean, he was terrible.
Yeah, really?
He kept giving the ball away. He did nothing offensively. I mean, he didn't have his classic movement.
Shambolic.
Every time he starts, he looks terrible.
Yeah, he really has gone backwards.
It looked to me like he had been out all night, like partying or something, you know? And like.
So it was bad.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was not good. I didn't understand who the player was.
Yeah, and hopefully that's just an aberration, a blip on the map, and he goes back. But there seems to be, in my opinion, and it's not a lot of, a lot of numbers, but every time he starts, not so good. When he comes off the bench, he's terrific.
Right. And there's a lot of people, the same with Mascara. Like, Mascara is definitely an off-the-bench player, at least at this point. I don't know that he'll ever be a starter, per se. Yeah, I think we could have definitely won that game with some smarter subs at the end.
Mascara looks to me like he could be a starter. I mean, he has really turned. Now, granted, he gave a horrible ball away. And
sure
he was responsible for the second goal, too. But those are defensive things. Those are defensive things. Offensively, he has really, really, his final product, which we used to, we used to say, like, look, he always gets by the guy, and then his final product is terrible, so it's not worth anything.
Yeah.
And he went away, came back, and suddenly his final product is totally different.
I do want to give Wolf a little bit more, because that's what Mascara does. He's got no defensive qualities. Like, Wolf at least has some defensive qualities.
Yeah.
And last night, if you're going to give him any credit, it was more on the defensive side of the ball.
Sure.
Offensively, atrocious.
But when you're talking about the defense of one of your front three, that's no bueno.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because, I mean, of course, you want them to play defense, but that's not what you should be talking about. So I would have, again, to me, to be fair, if you go back and listen to the podcast, the earlier episodes this season, I have said Dax McCarty is the perfect guy to bring on when you have a one-goal lead somewhat late in the game. You want to hold on to it because he's good defensively. He's really good on the ball. He maintains possession. But why can't he come? First of all, he didn't come on. But why couldn't he come on with the other two midfielders? Why can't we play three defensive midfielders when we're trying to kill off a game? Why not?
Good point.
Especially considering our back two in the game was Noah Cobb and Abram.
Well, especially when, like, you didn't need to bring Firmino on, right? So, to your point, you take
Firmino has looked like nothing. So, he's done nothing.
So, you bring Wolf off and you bring Dax.
I know people are raving about him on the twos, but when he has played in MLS games, he has looked, to my opinion, nothing. His movement's not great. He's not really finishing anything in the box. It's not even like you could say, all right, he's young. Is he not finishing when he gets to this level? He's not even getting close to getting shots.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, to your point, you bring Wolf off, you bring Mascara on, you bring Rios off, you bring Dax on, and you move Almada up to the nine.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. That's a great move. Any one of the front three could have come off, in my opinion, and Rios, maybe that was the minutes.
In fact, like at that point in the game, you're giving Almada a little bit more of like a freebie, like take a break,
and
like
this
get
is
creative.
The thing we keep talking about. Like he always insists on a prototypical, more of a striker, and Almada will not do it. But why not play three defensive midfielders that moment? Let Almada be the thorn in your side.
Yeah. And again, after watching the game last night, was Almada that's what I love about Almada. He doesn't go over his skis. He controls what is within reason in a soccer game for any one player. And so while he didn't have a dynamite game with all the fireworks, like every beautiful pass it had, and he had some bad passes and everything, but there's so much creativity that came from his touch on taking it, moving it quickly, and distributing it. I don't know what your thoughts on that are though, Dave.
Yeah, I think it was great. Should we finish getting all the negativity out? I have negativity on one more.
Okay, get it out.
The negativity on one more is Abram. You know, he did okay, made some interceptions, particularly early. But every time he won the ball, he just freaking launched it. I mean, he looked like, you know, high school ball.
Kickball.
Okay. I'm like, oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. And then, again, as particularly as the game wore on, as they would be attacking their occasional counterattacks, he's just backing up, keeping people onside and not challenging to win a ball. Yeah. You're like, stop being so afraid and go make a freaking play.
I had more critique on his headband. not a big fan of the hair with the headband there. Go ahead and go high and tight there, Abram.
Okay. Now, lest we think. I have a lot of positives to
talk about. Yay! Very Hit exciting.
Us. Top Let's three positives.
Go.
Okay, so positive. Rios, his first game.
Yes.
Movement looks good.
Okay.
Right? Holding up the ball looks good. I mean, compared to Firmino, he looks like super upgrade.
Okay.
In my opinion. I mean, obviously it's early. We haven't seen a lot of minutes of him.
So he's our third.
To be our third, or, you know, him and Tiare competing for our second. Both of those guys, Tiare and Rios, look like occasionally, you know, give you the flexibility. They could start with Gigi. I know that Pineda will never do it, but they could.
Okay.
He could have a moment. They look to me like good players.
Yeah. I mean, certainly an upgrade over Miguel Berry.
I was about to say, are we saying they're better than Miguel Berry? Is that an affirmative?
Well, I just looked at Miguel Berry's LA stats.
Did you check it?
Oh, my gosh. He's killing it.
Oh.
No, he's not.
Does he have a shot?
He's got eight matches.
Okay.
0 goals and 0 assists.
Oh.
So he's played in 8 matches.
Yeah.
I mean, again.
Still Miguel Berry.
As a striker.
Yeah.
I know I'm overconfident at 49.
No, you're not.
Turning 49 this weekend.
Yay!
Yeah. But I feel like the minutes, I could at least get one of those columns with a number.
Something.
Something.
Right?
No, I'm just a number in one of those columns.
Something.
An assist? Dave, I mean, what? I don't know. Would you bet on me to be able to get an assist at least? If you gave me that many minutes up front,
you'd at least be offside.
At least be offside. Thank you. I would at least be offside.
And you'd make a run. Yeah. And the run would take you offside.
And, I'd have a heart attack.
You'd blow a hamstring, have a heart attack.
Yes,
but,
all the above.
But
at least exciting.
Miguel Berry wouldn't even have that because he doesn't run.
No. And I cannot believe the LA Galaxy signed that guy for 2 years. What are people seeing in that guy? All right, enough. We're on with too much of our time.
Well, can y'all remind me, where did Rios come from? When did we get him and where from?
He's played in the MLS.
Came from Mexico, but he's been in MLS for a number of years. Okay. He's actually a decent scorer in history in MLS. So.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
Like 2 years ago, he had like...
And he's not
eight
young.
Or 10 goals in MLS.
Yeah, but he's not super old either. Like I'm going to guess he's 31 maybe, something like that. But he's not over, like, super over the hill or anything.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe he's even 30. I don't know. But he's not...
So, Dave, what parts of the game stood out that you want to talk about?
Well, I'll talk about that, but I want to say another positive thing. A player who I have not been that positive about, who I was quite positive about, which was Noah Cobb.
Okay.
I thought Noah Cobb, for the first time to me, looked like maybe he can read the game.
The last couple games, like I said in the NYCFC
And to be fair,
game,
when I was criticizing him earlier, I said every single time, true. He's young, he's who young. Knows, we don't know yet.
Yes.
So, you know, it takes time to settle.
I had the same observation about Cobb in my head. Thanks for bringing that up. I 100% agree. Some good signals, right?
And he's directing traffic. There was a couple of times in the box before the ball was served where he's like, I got here, you get there, whatever, and it was marked up. There was a play that Lennon made.
He also
made
saved a goal with a beautiful tackle.
A beautiful tackle. And he saved a goal because Lennon was the one who made a good tackle and saved a goal. But before, right before that play, Lennon was like, you know, clueless land. And he was like, I got him, you get him. And he, and then Lennon made the play. But it was only because Cobb was directing him. So for that young to be directing other players, bueno, really good.
That's great.
Yeah. So now he did make a mistake, but.
what other positives you got? Is that your
maybe
list?
You can find this in the highlights in the 29th minute is where he makes the mistake. And I want to point this out not so much because of his mistake, because anybody can make the mistake. We now have the ability to look not just at the highlights.
Oh, goodness.
So maybe you can start it playing and see. It's right in our own goal. Yeah, right in our own box, somewhere around then.
Around here?
Yeah, so you can start it playing while we talk about it.
Yeah.
So one of the things I will say is that, you know, in this game, the super important thing, here it is right there. Okay, so go back like 10 seconds. Just click the
10-second rewind.
Yeah, I'll middle. Take it now.
Oh, ooh, you got you.
All right.
Wait, let me pull it up. Yeah. Continue now.
Okay, so one of the things that I want to say, and this is just another example of this, but... And I can show you like 14 examples in this game. Sleaze, absolute masterclass in this game. I mean, masterclass. He was brilliant.
Ooh.
I mean, brilliant. One of the best defensive midfield displays I've seen in a long, long time. People don't notice it, but the number of intercepts, like in the first 3 minutes, we gave the ball away twice in our own back third. Just horrible giveaways that would have led to goals last year. And Sleaze is like, I got it. Just cover right in for him.
Not only that, not only is he masterclass on stepping up and winning it. And I think you got to let this run a little bit to catch up to the 29th minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the other thing I noticed with Sleaze is I'm also sometimes getting confused on TV because I've got bad eyesight, whether it's Sleaze or Almada sometimes. Because Sleaze really tries. He's got some classy forward balls as well and tries.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the very end of the game. I'll show an example. Yeah,
he doesn't quite have the right touch like Almada does, but
no, he's not Almada.
He's not Almada, but he really does a nice job of you know, putting a nice curl on the ball and putting it on somebody's foot on the front foot. So
there it is.
Very, very okay. Impressed. All right, so here we go, so Dave.
Yeah.
Oh no,
Carmen. I gotta get you there. Keep talking.
We're switching.
There we go. Switching. And you're on.
Yeah, go to the tab.
Put us as the tab as well. Yeah. Yep.
No, the
other one. There you go.
There we go.
All right. Okay, so here's the moment. They've had Philadelphia's had a free kick in our own box, and I'm going to go back 10 seconds just so you can see. So they have a free kick. We'll play it. Okay, it gets cleared. There's a sort of scramble moment, right? We're getting out, so it's kind of chaotic. They launch the ball across. We'll play it for a second. Okay, so now, like, it was scramble. I don't have a lot of horrible things to say. We have three marked against their three in the back. So this here, right here, you need to go to the YouTube channel if you're going to watch this. But so here is Abram, and here is Cobb. And so they're going to head it across. Cobb actually totally whiffs on this, right? And I'll play it. And watch what happens. Who makes the play?
Oh, yeah.
So
the play button kind of got in the way there. But
so what happens, if we go back, is that Cobb totally whiffs on it. Let's see if we can play it completely. And Sleaze reads it and runs right in behind him to make the play there.
Yeah.
He would have had an open from the penalty spot.
Yeah.
So Sleaze, if you go back on that, watch where Sleaze comes from. Look where he is now. He's right here.
Yeah.
Right? You don't think that Sleaze is going to make our last tackle back on that play.
Right.
Right? But he reads, in this case, Cobb missing the ball. And look at what he does. He runs by him and goes and makes the challenge.
That's impressive.
That is legit.
It's weird. Like watching him, it's almost like, you know, when you talk about forwards and you can't teach certain things to forwards in terms of being there and being able to get where you need to be. He has the same thing. Like you can see it defensively with him. Like he just knows somehow where to be every single time.
He sees the danger.
Yeah.
right? He absolutely sees the danger. In that case, how would anybody even know that? And I, to be honest with you, I don't think he's not like he knew that Cobb was going to come and whiff on the header, right? But as Cobb is going up, he's looking at it and he's like, I think he's going about to miss that. And he literally, Cobb almost runs right into him. He pushes Cobb aside, goes around him and makes the tackle.
Yeah.
I mean...
So do we want to check out the goals Atlanta finally scores, or what else you got?
Sure. The goal that we score.
You want to go to the YouTube highlights for these, or?
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Which one? Oh, what do you want to do? Which one?
I don't know. What minute is it? You can go.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it away. Yeah,
take it away, Dave.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's like we get our first goal in the 55th minute, something like that?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
There it is.
How'd you do that? That was impressive. Yeah.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. So the key, I think, on this whole play, we're going to get the ball and we're going to switch it out to the right. And what I really like about this play, so first of all, again, those people who are saying Almada's doing nothing, Almada crosses the ball right onto Rios's head, which is where he scores. But what I really like about this is that Lennon has a chance to whip in a cross, and the guys weren't really ready for it. He noticed that and he plays back to Almada. So watch it.
Yeah, I think
Lennon. So we're on the left side. We're going to win the ball. And again, look at our pressure, right? Their pressure on that, because again, we have everybody marked up. We'll talk about it in a minute, right? So then we get the ball and we're going to go out wide right.
Wiley's throwing it in.
Yeah.
And who's he throw to?
There's a beautiful Amada
makes a ridiculous transition. Yeah.
To Saba, who plays wide to Lennon. And we try to get across in there, and it's cleared, right? But you're going to watch when we recycle the ball. We recycled it again. We go back out. There's Almada again in the middle. And actually, that's Sleaze. Sleaze plays it out to Lennon. Now watch him pass up the cross here.
That was Almada.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he gets it back, and Almada, boom, right onto his head.
Ooh. Yeah.
Almada, instrumental in that from the throw-in all the way to playing it to Lennon to back to him across. And yeah, it's Almada.
And I'll have to say, we can do this, you know, maybe if we go to tactical board.
Tactical board.
One of the things I was really surprised about, Mikey Dobbs, is that Muyumba.
Yeah.
So Muyumba is an all action guy, and I'm not really sure that this is the best thing, but in this game, they were, you know, playing the dreaded double pivot, but. To be honest with you, I don't really think they were playing. They're playing double pivot, but clearly they had been instructed this is a game against a really good team. And both of them were holding all the time. And I'll show you what I mean. So here's Philadelphia coming out of the back. We'll move, you know, their players up to where, you know, a normal play is. So, like, if we are all the way up some here trying to score, Rios is in there. Right, maybe Lennon has overlapped and Saba's in here. What you'll see is this. Sleaze is actually on the right, not on the left. And Muyumba were sitting absolutely parallel to one another right there all the time.
Yeah, and normally you would see Muyumba action up in the box.
Yeah, he was super disciplined in this game. He just kept sitting.
Someone listening to the podcast.
I don't know, but I kept looking up and I was like, there is no way they can get out.
Uh-huh.
Right? And to be honest with you, that's what I've been saying all the time, right? That if you can prevent them from getting the easy outlet ball, you can make it much more effective for those guys up front because just recycle. And you just saw it just a minute ago when we saw that. On the goal, right? That goal came on the third time that Philadelphia couldn't get the ball out of their own end. And every single time they looked up and had nothing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right? And this is not, so Abram is pretty awful and off of his guy, you know. Cobb was here. He was more aggressive, right? He was looking something like this. And Saba was, you know, helping up in here. But anyway, what happened, it wasn't because they didn't have these guys open, right? Gazdag was open or whatever. But the problem is, the ball, let's say, was, you know, here or something. When he was looking up, he was looking, and actually when they had the ball in the corner, it looked like this. That, which is unbelievably perfect. I mean, they had the two guys who were disciplined. Like, where are you going to go with this ball? You have only one option, which is to try to do something crazy in the back here, mm-hmm. or just boom, boom, it long. That's the only thing they had. And it was consistent over and over and over. Philadelphia had nobody.
All right.
Okay.
Because these two guys were, they were playing next to each other. They looked like they had a string attached to one another. They were parallel. They were, and there were a couple moments as the game went on that Muyamba got involved here, but almost the entire game, no matter how deep it was, even when we were like, you know, everybody in the box for a cross or something. So let's say Lennon was getting down here and everybody was in the box, right? We still had it. They were like halfway, Sleaze and Muyamba, halfway between the 18 and the penalty area, perfectly ready to defend. Huh? It was beautiful. So it was absolutely beautiful.
So what I'm hearing is Pineda had good tactics, or are we just thinking they did what they were
Somebody told Muyamba to stay at home, and he did.
Yeah.
Now, what I would have said, you know, I'm not, I mean, maybe in these kind of games, sure. What I would have said is that should never happen. I would have said that should normally, in normal games, it should be all action Muyamba here, and Sleaze can still be here taking away the options. And if we have a big game like this, Muyamba can still do this because this should have happened. If we think we need that kind of discipline, these two guys should be the parallel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So I would have said that's the perfect formation, but not the right player. So instead of Muyamba, it should have been Dax McCarty as the actual two defensive midfielders.
You're taking away your left forward in that case.
Yeah, you're just replacing another forward. And in this case, you know, Almada becomes probably the left forward, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. It's Muyamba. Where did Almada go?
He's ahead of him.
He's like,
there he is. So then it becomes our front three.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
So, but what I will say is, you know, for who we had on the field, it was super disciplined from Muyamba, and it was super good from the two of them, and they could not, the number of times we won the midfield, and so that's what I was saying. So before you were saying to me that maybe we didn't deserve our 2-0 lead, I thought we did. Maybe not so much in terms of goal-scoring opportunities, but in terms of domination, we had not only, like, close to 60% possession, it was good possession because we kept recycling the ball.
The first half, they had a higher percentage XG than we did.
Yeah, but I...
like, by significant amount.
And that can happen.
It was a fraction, but...
That can happen when you give up sort of fluke or whatever, but I thought we looked like we were dominating the game and we were good for our lead, even with a minus XG. Sometimes when the minus XG is like, it's an excellent channel, whatever, you know, but
it wasn't a very convincing first half by Atlanta United. That's for sure.
It was a very cagey first half. So there was nobody who looked like they were going to score in the first half.
Because
we had it really, really well marked up and we kept recycling it around, they were really good in the back and they didn't give us chances. But because we had that, I was confident in the second half that Philadelphia was going to tire a little bit because they couldn't get out of the back.
Yeah.
Okay. And sure enough, they did. That's when we gave up, when we scored the two goals, right?
Yeah.
Now. We talked about it, right? So we scored those two goals, right? So the first goal was really good. Rios put it back where it came from. Brilliant. But let's go to the second goal, which is Wiley, which is a few minutes later. Here, so, want me to do it?
Hold on. Yeah, and, you know, we'll bring this up here in a second, but obviously a great goal, a great take. The type of strike that the technique makes it very difficult for the goalkeeper because it hits the ground before it skips up and goes in. That's always tough for a goalkeeper. Yeah. And, you know, kudos to Wiley. He took the chance. Mm-hmm. Hell of a shot, a little bit lucky. Goal. That's my take on it. Better to shoot it than not. But, yeah, solid goal.
Yeah, somebody called it a screamer. So I was like, ooh, I need to see this one. I was like, not quite a screamer because it did take that bounce. But you're right. He took it.
Yeah,
he took it.
It wasn't a screamer. It was good technique to keep it down. Yeah. And those are some of the toughest balls for a goalkeeper to defend because it skips off the ground.
Here's my cynical eye. Okay, right. Carmen.
Uh-oh, cynical eye.
Yeah.
If this is Andre Blake, does he save this?
I don't even need to see it. Yes. Yeah.
Does Andre Blake get beat by that shot from it? Would have to be almost, 30-something yards?
No. Yeah. Andre Blake saves that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying when we went out, I was texting you. I was like, ah, Andre Blake is out. We're good for gold. Now, here's what I've been
probably
saying.
Probably saves it. I mean, look, I think a lot of things went right for Wiley on that shot.
Yeah, it was an awkward bounce. So I think everything you said was true.
If for any goalkeeper, that's a really difficult save because of the way that it bounced off the turf. So even Andre Blake may have missed that. I know you praise him. I think he still misses it. Especially injured like he was.
Okay,
look at the reverse because they're going to show in the last, I think, version of this. They show the reverse angle right here. Look at where he's not quite over. He's standing in the middle of the goal.
And he's flat. He like
Andre Blake would have moved over there, and he makes that save.
That guy was flat footed.
He was flat footed. He like he should have been on his toes, but instead he went down and was waiting.
He wasn't quite over. The play had shifted over. Mm-hmm. He needed to be one step over.
So okay, now at this point we're 2-0 up. What did you think of Braguzan's performance?
I want to say one more thing about this, actually. So for all those people who think Jim Curtin, you know, MLS God, and he's done really well at Philadelphia with a lot of teams, I actually think Andre Blake has been consistently making him look like a better coach. He is that good. Yep. And I think if you take away Andre Blake, Jim Curtin is a mediocre coach. That's my hot take.
Ooh, hot take.
I am not impressed with Jim Curtin.
Well,
I actually had that thought because I know you weren't before, but I was like, he's not exciting. I don't know. And I know that's not the biggest deal, but he's just I don't know. And it was interesting when we did the podcast in Philadelphia, the guy who does the local Philadelphia podcast was saying it was more of the
system
that was installed by the GM. That actually set Curtin or really any coach up for success there. So take that with a grain of salt. But, yeah. So, anyway, goalkeeping. Braguzan. I know we had a preference of having Cohen start and, you know, lose the job versus having some sort of extreme thing happen with Guzan to lose the job himself and then give Cohen a win to win, which we don't think will happen until Braguzan lays an egg. Not going to happen the way he's playing, right? I mean, has there been an egg? No. But, what is your thoughts?
Well, let's go to the goal we conceded. And then you can say, we go through.
Okay, I can
Braguzan fault or not?
I can give you my opinion on both, and neither one of them are Braguzan's fault.
Okay. So let's show the clip first.
The first one is all class. Okay. The guy near posts it. Nobody's saving that. Your Blake dude's not saving that. Nobody's saving that. That was pure class, the upper 90 on the near post there. So whatever you're going to say.
Oh, no, I'm not talking. Well, so, okay. So
I want to see what you got to say on this, that's Braguzan's fault, or even a younger Braguzan saves that. Not sure.
Well, my opinion, we'll get to, but.
Oh.
Isn't it like right 70?
70-something. I thought it was 77.
73rd, no, it
wasn't. Yeah, 73rd. And I'd also like to see whether it was Mascara or whomever that has the internet died on us.
It looked like it got stuck.
Yeah, maybe it's Apple.
No, we're good. We're good. We're still going. It's only going 2 seconds at a time. I know it's right here.
And
there it is.
Yeah.
That was it. Back. So. A moment of silence.
I would say, y'all talk amongst yourselves. Right, are you there? You're there? Okay.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ugh. So this is actually the place to stop it, right? So Mascara, as you pointed out, so Wiley has this crazy thing on the touchline. They save it. Mascara actually launches it back pass.
Yeah.
Okay. So who should go for this ball? I mean, it was clearly a ball designed to go back to Braguzan.
I mean,
hold on. Like, if we're going to be fair, I want to see it played back then before I make the judgment on the still frame.
What do you mean played back?
10 seconds. Okay. Go back.
All right.
Okay. So now play it. All right. So Wiley comes up here and challenges on the sideline. Somehow it stays in bounds.
Stays in bounds.
Mascara plays it. And yeah, I don't know. That's a 50-50 ball. Okay. So if Braguzon comes out on this, Brad is what? 40 years old.
Yes.
Brad is calculating. Am I going to win? So to be fair to Brad, is he going to win? That ball is right in between them. Do you think the athletic 23-year-old is going to get there first or Braguzon? I know who's going to get there first. So Brad stays put as he rightfully should to give himself some chance.
And I agree. I actually think Brad makes the right call here. He stayed at home. I was thinking when I saw it live, I'm like, oh, Brad should have come for that. When I look at the replay, I'm like, no, that was just an awful ball.
It's an awful ball.
But
man.
Now look.
Put everybody in an awkward position.
So the other thing about this, and this is where we're talking about, so Noah Cobb
But he had to gauge it, so he's out, right?
Yeah, and the moment he starts coming for it, look what Noah Cobb does. Oh, let's go back,
He was slow on his horse, that's for
You'll
sure.
You'll see. Look, when the ball is first played and Guzon goes for it, watch Noah Cobb. Okay, watch Noah Cobb right here. Watch what he does.
Nothing.
And now he goes, right?
Yeah.
See the hesitation? And so now I'm not blaming Noah Cobb there either because that was a ball that was intended back to bring Raguzan. It wasn't him, but he also was a little switched off.
Switched off, but rightfully so because you're like, oh, you're playing it back to
the keeper.
You're not
Whose
playing it-
fault is that? Mascara. That was an awful ball.
Yeah, 100%.
And then as I agree with you, that he could do nothing about this. There's no problem on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a heck of a finish.
Yeah, great finish.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Okay. We ended up agreeing. After all that, Dave, that was a long story to be told. You could have just said, I agree with you, Mike.
That's like no fun.
I was trying to set you up to be like, oh, he doesn't agree with me.
Well, I'm glad you made me analyze the whether Brad should have gone for it or not. So. All right. So this is the throw-in. The infamous throw-in where you tweeted that it was a foot violation.
76 minute. Now, first of all, I want to say is, after you give up the 2-1 goal, I'm going to go back to it again. How is Dax McCarty not in the game? And again, you might say, does Dax McCarty make this play? I don't know. We're going to get to it a second because we have this is a long throw-in and we have the shambolic zonal marking. But I honestly think maybe having a third Dax McCarty reads danger. It wouldn't surprise me if Dax McCarty actually would have ended up. You never know. It was a total speculation. But he should have been in the game. Now, long throw, absolutely a long throw. Now you can tell.
Well, no, I was shocked that you were so critical of had this been a foot violation. Of the player.
Yep.
Let's just say theoretically his foot did go over the line and it was a fault throw.
Yep.
And a linesman doesn't get that right. They should be suspended.
Yes.
I think that's a little harsh personally.
No.
Because I think there's so much wrong with the refereeing in games that referees would get suspended every 20 seconds.
Well, yeah.
If something more important than the foot violation were to be enacted for a suspension, then refs would be get suspended every game in the MLS for things that are way more egregious than this.
Okay, now, first of all, I think maybe suspension is not the right word. But I think that referees who make blatant mistakes should have accountability and they should have to take a game off, right? Now, whether you call that a suspension or whatever. I'm not saying he should be suspended for months or whatever. In this case, it's a long throw-in.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know, everybody knows it's a long throw-in. And when it's a long throw-in, one of the jobs of the linesman is to make sure they don't egregiously cheat and come in the field, which they do all the time. And so you have to be looking at it. And she was. Right, the Lions woman was, and I thought that he stepped blatantly over the line until I actually looked at the rule book, Mikey Dobbs. So the rule book, I always thought that you had to be behind the line.
My entire life, Dave, I've always thought that my foot had to be outside the line when I threw the ball in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
I played soccer for 45 years.
Yeah.
evidently the rule that you can have even your heel touching any part of the chalk is legal.
Yeah.
So even if it's the inside, which to Dave's point makes no logical sense because every other part of the rule on where the ball is out of bounds.
Right.
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 Yeah. So here's what Mikey Dodds is saying is that, so when the ball is on the line, it's in, it has to completely cross the line for a goal. It has to completely cross the line for out of bounds. So the line is in.
Yes.
So if the line is in field, then stepping on the line should be stepping on the field and you're touching the ball, handball.
Right. 1,000%, which is why I always thought the rule is what it is not.
But it's not.
So the fact that you brought this up as a big deal is awesome because I love to be educated on stuff like this. And I've been wrong my entire life on where your foot needs to be or where your
feet need to be. You know who knows that you can do this? Two people. One... And two. The lineswoman knew the rule. Yeah. The guy throwing the ball knew the rule. It was only we didn't know the rule.
But secondly...
I'll stop it right where you can see.
Even if, let's just say his heel was a centimeter across the line, I don't really... Like, as a player, like, if it got missed, like, this is not the biggest deal in the world to me. We should be defending this better. It's not consequential to the outcome of the game in a significant way like other mistakes are in soccer. It is so far down the list of things that impact a game that you're saying that like 1 inch on a throw-in is the biggest difference in the world. I 100% agree. The rules are the rules. They should be enforced and people should be accountable for it. I'm just saying as a player, like if you're like, oh, the foot foul. That's why Dax McCarty missed the header.
No,
he wasn't on the field. That's the problem.
This is where
McCarty wasn't on the field, Dave.
I know, but here's where I completely disagree with you. Because so many calls, the reason why referees can't be held accountable is because so many calls.
He's about to heat up. I'm eating up. Sorry.
Yeah, he already did, so it's fine. You can hit the button again. So the reason why referees can't be held accountable is there's so much subjectivity to so many calls. But in the case where there is a goal that's decided on a long throw and you cheat by going over the line, it's black and white. If you're over the line, that is a foul. That should be called back. The referee should blow that. You're always for the line is the line, right? And I was always like, no, the spirit of the game. And that's where I disagree with you on the offsides and I agree with you here. That's over the line if it is, which is not. Yes. But if it was over the line, that is a foul and it has to be called back.
100% agree. Go ahead and implement technology that can show that within 1 second.
But you're saying you don't care that much.
I don't care that much.
You should care. That's a rule.
Oh, my God. Okay. So let me get my words correct here. Okay. I care about the laws of the game being enforced. Okay. As a fan or a player in the scenario of something getting missed, out of all the things that get missed in a soccer game, this is way down my care list.
I agree.
Because I don't think it impacts the outcome of the game in any significant way. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that the laws of the game should be enforced, especially when you have competent referees and competent technology that can make it happen. I'm with you. I will preach that till I die, that should happen.
A line's a line.
It's in or out. Okay. Simple. On or offsides, goal is in or out. These are things that technology can solve. So instead of relying on this woman who's the linesman to judge what a centimeter is, which is very difficult for a human, by the way.
Well, she's looking right at it. She got it right on. She's literally looking at it. That's why I was so pissed. Looking at it. How would she not make the call? Because it was so egregious. Okay. Except for it wasn't so egregious because it wasn't even a foul.
And she had it right.
She did, okay? Mm-hmm. And she was lucky, too, as a human because a human...
She nailed it.
She nailed it. So she got it, this was the heel literally on the most inner edge of the line. What if it was a little bit more, right? Ooh. What if it was right on the little edge of the chalk, Dave? Like, at what point do you distill technology to make that millimeter difference? Okay? It can be solved. It can be a virtual line there that is created by technology and figures out whether that millimeter is crossed or not.
And if VAR can check something in the buildup, VAR can check that. I know they're not allowed to now, but they should be able to.
Stop it with the VAR stuff.
I would call
VAR
that.
Can mess up soccer for infinity. Stop bringing the camera into the equation. The camera is the wrong technology.
If you're taking a throw in, a long throw in, you can't get an advantage like that. That's illegal.
Hey. So you can't. So Mikey Nobbs, you're saying you do not bring VAR in to check to see if his foot is over the line.
I think it can be done with other technologies other than cameras, personally.
Oh, I see. Wait, what do you want to do it automatically or something?
Yeah, like I think that, like, I mean, there can
be. Okay, but now, like, we can only do it on VAR. Would you have VAR review that? I would.
No, I just don't.
You don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah, and I do. That's a rule.
So it's not reviewable.
It's
not reviewable. It's a dead ball situation.
I will sacrifice the pain of sitting around for 2 minutes waiting for VAR to decide whether the game should continue versus something that nominally impacts the game. Because as a player, Dave, do you give a shit, honestly? I mean, I care whether he, like, does like a half throw. Like, yeah, at least bring it behind your head. Have 2 feet on the ground. But let's play some damn ball. Like, let's get on with it.
I completely disagree with you.
I'm like, great. If you can implement technology that doesn't make me suffer as a player or a fan, then fine. Enforce the rule. But if not, I don't want to wait around all day to find out whether something that's insignificant matters or not. Sorry.
And I completely disagree with you. Well, that you're pisses wrong. The hell out of me because you're wrong. Wait, hold on. That pisses the hell out of me because you have a long throw in. You know that. That guy knows that. Why he can't stand behind the line and observe the laws of the game? Why he feels like he has to cheat 1 inch to get that advantage is ridiculous.
If the system can actually implement things that
we have children.
Hi. We're waking up the kids. Thank you.
I love this so much. I'm sorry. We're sorry.
We're waking up the kids. Wait, we got yelled at for the first time on the podcast. That's kind of awesome.
That's history.
Did we wake up the kids? Awesome.
I can't hear the TV.
Okay. Oh. See you later.
More importantly, guys.
All right. So, but it bothers me because what I would say is, like, it's like if the referee draws the line on the free kick and the guy rolls it up an inch, like who's going to be that jerk? Like, don't do it. Like, stop. Or, like, the people who, like, implement, cheat in, who are, like,
implement
off the
a
10
system
yards.
That can enforce the rule then.
Yeah. It's called VAR.
No, it's called other technology.
No.
I mean, like, sure, if you have to involve cameras, but don't belabor it. Don't belabor a throw in. Like, there's enough things that slow this game down.
If you have a long throw in and you can't stay legal, then you got a problem. That's your fault. Your fault.
I understand that. But Dave, as a player, you've always said, like, the referee's job is to keep the game fair,
yep.
Right? Okay.
Except for when people morals and are horrible and are cheating for no reason. Yeah. What bothers me is he's cheating for no reason.
the player, he was able to keep his.
All he's doing is flouting the rules for no reason, and that really bothers me.
Who's this?
The thrower.
Yeah, he's
can't
just
stay behind the freaking line. What are you getting an inch advantage? It's not an advantage.
No, but this guy actually is within the rules, so he got it perfectly.
But why? If I was a coach, I would be like, are you kidding me? Why are you even coming close to that? Why would you jeopardize our getting a goal because you want that inch? What is that doing for us? Nothing. You're an idiot.
Oh, now we've got to the real source.
It bothers me.
It bothers him that the player is pushing the edge of the throw.
For no reason.
I'm like not even mad at that, quite frankly. I get it. I get that. But let me say, if I were still playing soccer, I too, every single time I'm throwing the ball in, I'm putting my heel on the line.
Yeah,
if
sure.
I were still playing.
So press the advantage or whatever.
Hold on. I'm not done with this yet. Not done with this yet, Dave.
Uh-oh.
I love this so much.
As a player, when you and I played together,
yep.
Had somebody taken a long throw in at us and their foot was an inch over the line, are you going to feel like you were done wrong? Like, literally? Like, at the end of the game.
No, did that give him an advantage? No, but would I be ballistic? Yes.
Didn't give him an advantage.
No, it didn't give him an advantage. Yeah.
So, okay, let's move on.
Probably the angriest I've ever been in a soccer game. I had a free kick, and I wanted to take it quickly, right? And the player was back 10 yards and knew that I wanted to take it quickly and came running in to like 3 yards to whatever block it. Not that they were there and failed to back up, but they came running in. I was like, I took the free kick anyway, kicked it right into them. And the referee let the game go on and they went down and score. And I went absolutely nuts. I'm like, how do you let the guy just whatever? And he's like, you took the kick. I'm like, because he was 2 yards away and he infringed on the whole thing. Like,
so my last red card at Silverbacks, same situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it drove me nuts.
So I lost.
Like, stop cheating.
I lost my mind, Dave, like worse than you've ever seen.
Oh, gosh, I wish I could have been there.
It was something. This referee heard it for me. So he said, so I put the ball down. He said, do you want me to mark it off? And because they were doing the stepping thing, they were like one foot in front of the ball,
right?
Which is not reasonable of the 5 yards or whatever it is at the 77. And so I said, no, I don't want the space. So they end up backing up like close to the, but they were still infringing. Right. So I sat down, I didn't ask for the 5 yards.
Yep.
I wind up to take it. By the time I was shooting the ball, he was about 6 inches.
Yeah, that's what happened with me.
From me. Like, literally, exactly. Could have broken my leg as I'm shooting the ball.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
That's what happened with me.
And it went off. Yeah. It went off. And I lost my... He was like, you didn't ask for the... And I was like, it doesn't matter whether I asked for 10 yards. Yeah. Do your job.
I agree.
So, okay. All right, we have gone off.
So that's the same principle here. You're cheating.
The rabbit hole.
Like, stop.
You knew it was going to be a good podcast, Carmen.
Stop cheating.
Sorry, I'm wind up at this point.
All right.
Oh, goodness. Are we going back to see the video here?
Yeah, go all back right. to the video. We're going to go to the 88th minute. There was a...
Wait. Did they score from the throw-in or not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay, just wanted to check. Just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, so we actually can talk about it. So everybody's going to blame on that. They're going to blame Mascara again because it was Mascara who...
Oh, what happened? You had it right on the footmark there. It was all happening. And Dave, see, this is what happens when you give Dave the wheel.
I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy stuff.
So here's the reverse angle. So what happens is this is the dreaded zonal marking, right? And this is actually an interesting reverse angle to see it from because this is what we've talked about all the time. So a lot of times on the zonal marking, you win the first ball. Like in this case, because we have zonal marking, we have 2v1, and we are going to win the ball. But the moment you don't clear it on that first ball, nobody's responsible for anybody. And you can see nobody is responsible for this guy. Right, who happens to be Kai Wagner, who's one of their leading scorers, even as it back, and watch what happens.
Just side foots it.
So
right
everybody is gonna blame Mascara for getting there late. But if he's actually responsible for him, he should be close to him. Right? Yeah. If you go back on this clip to when he's throwing the ball, they'll show it.
It's man mark him. Put some elbow grease on him.
Yeah.
We've talked about it many times in the podcast. It's a problem with zonal marking. You don't make people change their movement. And so you end up letting this guy just easily line up a side footer because he's got no elbow grease on him.
So here it is, right? You can see that it's zonal marking because he's here, right? And he lets the guy, you know, wide open. And boom.
So there it is. 2-2 draw at home.
Okay.
Three so points now. That we needed.
I'm going to go to a couple of modes. So there was one, and I love the fact that we can watch. I love we don't have to be in the highlights.
We're beyond highlights.
Beyond the highlights. I think this is where it's here where Muyamba gets the ball here, and he comes in, and what is he doing right here? What did he do there? Why? So Muyamba does really, really well there. We'll go back.
I think he was trying to wait a second for the space.
Yeah.
And instead the guy came and put in a good tackle.
I think what he was trying to do is I think he was trying to get cute and chip. He hesitated a second, and I think he was going to try to chip.
Yeah, he was trying to chip far. He was trying to go back far post.
And he should have just hit it.
Should have just drilled it near post.
Yeah, he got a little too cute.
Made the keeper make a save.
Here's you can see the better angle. So Muyamba does really well to get into this spot. And I think he tries to chip.
Yeah, the guy's right in front of him.
Anyway. Yeah.
All right.
And then I want to show you one more thing.
One more thing.
In the 93rd minute when you were talking about this, Sleaze, I just want to show you with him coming forward on the ball, right? He does an absolutely brilliant job. So they're going to go here.
Sleaze.
I need a Sleaze jersey.
Yeah. So here, this is Sleaze running with the ball, and you were talking about, Almada and his. Mm-hmm. What Sleaze does, and I'm going to back it up just 1 second so we can see it right when he gets the ball. Right, so he gets the ball. We're playing out of our own back, and he gets the ball there, right? So, I mean, he's halfway in our own half, halfway between the 18 yeah. and the midfield, right? And so many players as a defensive midfielder would just be like, pump it up, pump it up, pump it up. Yeah. And as you pointed out earlier, Sleaze is so – watch yeah. what he does. Yeah, look
sometimes
how,
I'm like, is that Almada or Sleaze?
How composed is he on this? He dribbles, yeah. and he dribbles, and he dribbles, and he dribbles, and he dribbles. And then he doesn't try to do something fancy. He just finds the open guy,
yeah, and then
right?
back
and there. All that does is allow Almada Ooh. To get there,
yeah,
right? That chance was created completely by the composure of Sleaze, right? He was his, I can't even say it enough. It was a masterclass.
Yeah. Love me some Sleaze.
All right.
All right.
I like you.
So I want to say one more thing.
I thought that was one more thing.
Oh, well. So Philadelphia has a reputation for being not the best attitude. Do you know how many yellow cards they ended up in the game?
I don't recall too many, but I don't know. That's a great question. I'm going to go with 3 yellow cards.
Garmin, you want to guess?
Having not seen the game, you said 3?
Yeah.
I'm taking the over.
A little, yeah, over. So they had 5 official,
okay,
which is a lot. 5 yellow cards. And after the end of the game, so the referee stopped the game when Philadelphia was in the attacking third. I don't think he should have stopped the game there. People were like, oh my God, they had a great chance. I'm not really sure it was the great chance. Whatever.
It was not. And he had already committed to blowing the whistle yeah. before that great play was ever transpiring.
Yes.
So he had committed to the whistle.
So the Philadelphia lost their mind and surrounded the referees. And I would how MLS is not taking a discipline action for that because they literally surrounded him for minutes after the end whistle. Yeah. And Curtin came in and started yelling at him.
What?
And I believe, which is not in the actual stat book, I believe that he yellow carded Curtin in that moment too because he brandished a yellow card like 3 or 4 minutes after the game was over. Somebody got a yellow card. I have to assume that was Curtin. I don't know yeah. for sure, because otherwise it should have shown up as one of the players. But anyway, I believe it was Curtin.
So versus worrying about the throw-in rule, I would rather they sort out stuff that's very sortable, which is that happens so many times in EPL games or wherever there's controversy over when the refs end the game. Can't they implement something to where it's very clear that it has to be when the ball is at some portion of the field or across a line, and then the game can end. Like, I mean, this isn't hard to solve. Like, there can be a very clear moment where it's not a breakaway or the team got a corner kick. Like, you can't end it on a corner kick. Like, it goes across the line, and the other team got the offense has got a corner kick, and the ref decides, I'm not going to let you take the corner kick, end the game. Like, there has to be some very clear-cut things that the rules of the game can easily solve. Rather that than worry about the throw-in rule.
You could correct me if I'm wrong out there, but I actually think it's even worse than that. I think technically the game can't end unless it's in play. You often see this where there's like a goal kick or something. They'll wait till the person kicks the ball or the and then blow it. And it's really weird. I'm like, why didn't you just blow it?
Right.
And so I have always assumed that there is some kind of rule that actually has to be in play. Because actually a better rule would be like, maybe it can't end when it's in play. It has to be a dead ball. Then you could keep going and going and going. But
is that a FIFA? I feel like I watched a game like this weekend that ended on a throw-in.
Yeah. It's right something that we need to check.
Like, look, if it's you're on the other team's offensive side and you play the ball back twice, the ref can blow the whistle dead.
Mm-hmm. I also think times when, it's past the time and it's an attacking in a moment, like a corner kick or whatever, and they take forever to take it. I'm like, you don't just because you think that the referee shouldn't blow it on the end the game on that, doesn't mean you get to take forever. If I were a referee sometimes, I would be like,
don't do that. Because it's, again, I'm subjective of what's too long to take a corner kick. Either allow them to take a kick or not. It should be within the laws of the game and solve it that way, Dave, versus making it subjective.
Fair. Okay, so now, next weekend, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Home.
Home.
Prediction.
I have this one chalked up as a loss. Ooh.
Cincinnati at home, you say. I am going. Do we know anything about Gigi?
They actually reported that he is should be back.
Should be back.
Yeah, so I think you have to assume that he's going to be back.
Yeah,
that's what the reports are.
Ooh, I'm going to go hopeful draw.
And I'm going to go win.
Ooh.
I really think that we are still Formula Plus, because if you look at our midfield in this game, we dominated the midfield for the first time under Pineda against Philadelphia ever. I mean, the Sleaze-Muyumba combination is working, and when we do that, if you have Gigi as a fulcrum on it, then we win.
So, I certainly think we have a chance if we have Almada, Gigi, and Sleaze in the game.
Yep.
Gregerson is on the cusp of coming back too, right?
Close, but I wouldn't expect him back yet.
Yeah, okay. So, it's probably best case scenario of the three that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Silva, Saba are healthy, right?
Yep.
Lennon.
I don't know about Eilish. Silva.
Oh, he has a side injury. Is he a part of the 4-week thing?
I don't know how long he's out.
He's out. Yeah, yep. He's out.
Yeah,
because it's only been 2 weeks. But that's okay. I mean, we'll see. Probably Wolf again.
I'd like to see Mascara instead of Wolf.
Yeah, I don't dislike that, given the way that Wolf has played.
Yeah, Wolf was
awful. Reward Mascara for his improvement. Yeah.
Now he won't, because he'll look only at the two mistakes, and he'll say Mascara gave away the ball, and then Mascara was the guy at the top of the box who didn't close him down fast enough. So I'm going to say there's no chance Mascara starts.
Which I don't hate either, because like I said, Wolf's a better defender, even though he had a shambolic game.
Yeah, but you can't be picking your front three based on who's the better defender. I can
during the full 90 minutes.
No, I
disagree. Because I don't know. I've yet to see Mascara perform where he puts people on their heels through a full 90 minutes. He's deadly when somebody's worked his player for 70 minutes and he comes on, he smokes them. And you've said this much.
But you've seen Tyler Wolf for every time he starts, he's terrible.
He's terrible in terms of lately, the last 4 or 5 games, finishing way off. Mm-hmm. Little touches are off. Movement is off. Defending, pretty good. A lot of hustle. A lot of defending. So if you're going to have, and I know that's not what you want out of your left forward, but for 90 minutes, if you don't have somebody who can be an all-round player, and Mascara is not, for the reasons you just mentioned, I'm not sure he's a starter either.
At home? No way. Go after him. Let's go. At home, let's take it to him. Maybe on the road.
Against Cincinnati?
But at home? Yeah.
So when you say take it to him, you're saying start who?
You don't pick one of your front three based on who's the better defender at home.
Got it.
You pick the guy who's better attacking right now.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm a little torn. I mean, look, I'm not totally against Mascara starting either, but especially the way Wolf's played. Who else? Do we have any other? Obviously not Derek Etienne. Whew.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, he played a few minutes in the last game.
Okay.
So and he missed an absolute sitter. He headed it backwards. He skimmed it off his head. He spun it off his head backwards.
I had forgotten about
him. So what are we? We're like 7th place in the East?
6th.
6th?
So we have a game in hand.
We have a game or two in hand, depending on who we're looking at.
Miami, we have 2, so maybe you could pull up the table.
Yeah, given where we are, if we get 3 points this weekend, that should move us up pretty well.
So we have 7 games played. Philadelphia also has 7, but Cincinnati, Columbus, and Red Bulls all have 8, and Miami has 9. So if we win the game in hand, we would have 14, which would have moved us basically into 3rd.
Yeah.
So we're certainly not off the pace.
But we're off the pace.
That's the thing. We got to go get all these points right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think after this last weekend, we're off the pace.
I have to say, you know, so that the little things matter. And I think if he makes the move to Dax McCarty when we have either the 2-0 lead or 2-1 lead, I bet we hold on.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between, you know, a great coach gets you results when it's not absolutely the best. And, you know.
So I wanted to get your opinion on Guzan.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, until he has a blunder that's clear, Pineda's not going to make a change. So, but overall, what do you think of his performance? I mean, it's not awful.
It hasn't been awful. He hasn't made, you know, big mistakes. But I do think that there we've already documented, which people are discounting, the once or twice where I thought he probably a better keeper gets to it. Now, what we don't know, and to be fair, we don't know, is Cohen that better goalkeeper? Yeah. I don't know.
And, I mean, to be fair to Brad, and this is why I'm bringing it up, he's also had some nice saves in some of these games, too. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if Cohen's making either.
Yep. So last year we said that, you know, Guzan didn't make any mistakes last year either, but his, you know, his save percentage was the lowest in the league for chances or whatever. That has changed. Like this year, he started out well. I'm not. I think maybe last year was a little harsh on the numbers. I think this year is a little flattering on the numbers. I'm not, you know, that's a very, I know computer is trying to decide whether, you know, they should have made the save.
So kind of a blanket statement here, but what, there's 29 teams in the MLS right now?
Yep.
Out of those 29 starting goalkeepers, how many of them do you think that you would start over Brad Guzan? Just like
at least half. I think he's in the bottom half. I mean, I thought last year that he was maybe even bottom five because I really thought he cost us a bunch of goals. Yeah. But I actually think this year he's looked a little better. Like maybe his Achilles is better.
He seems a little sharper this year. Seems like definitely the old man strength is kicking
in. But I'd still probably take almost half the goalkeepers over him.
But at 40.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's an absolute, you know, in his prime, he's one of the best MLS goalkeepers ever.
Yeah.
He's a terrific goalkeeper. Don't confuse me for thinking I'm a Brad.
Yeah, we love Brad Guzan. Oh, yeah. Just questioning when the time's right.
Right. I do feel like this year he's kind of realized he's 40. Like, I feel like last year mind was still like, I'm in my prime, so I'm making bad decisions. But this year he's I'm 40.
Last year he would have come out for that ball and wrecked that guy.
Exactly.
That's really, really, really good point.
Yeah.
Harmon nailing it. I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking too. I was like, he's kind of like, he knows his fat dad bod is there.
Exactly. We should understand that as like our 40-year-old selves. It's that year where you're like, you know what? I'm not going up for that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm 40 something. I got kids and a mortgage and I got to get to work tomorrow.
Is there any other soccer stuff? We talk about it all?
I think we talked about it all.
Well, if you're still listening, we are going to be at Wild Heaven Brewery April 27th, Saturday at noon. Please come join us. Come heckle us. Come join the podcast.
Yes, and I will buy you a beer if you come up to me and tell me who was the guest on the fourth episode of ATL on Fire.
There we go. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Just like batting Guadalajara, you say it. I do it, coach.
Football is life.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great evening.